Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
When one looks at the current socioeconomic status of the most oppressed and suppressed groups, people in the United States of America, clearly there is a need for proactive change. The question becomes, what does proactive change look like? Talk Straight is an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. Weekly topics focus on real issues confronting families and communities. Yours truly, tonight, your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery Sr. We engage other guests from time to time and experts in various fields or disciplines of study, but most importantly, you, our listening audience, and dialogue that is provocative and transformative. I hope that you can join us tonight for yet another episode of Talk Straight. And our topic this evening, the seeds of proactive change. Feel free to give us a call here at 657-383-0944. If you're listening, you're in the cybersphere and you're listening to us, we welcome you to call and share your questions, your comments, and be a part of our dialogue. All we ask is that you keep it relevant to our topic for tonight and let's be respectful of one another as we engage in conversation. I hope to have our regular panelists on this evening, Pastor Ricky Waller, the author of Steel High, a very powerful book, and he is a supporter of this radio broadcast, and we're grateful to have his wisdom in print, in his book entitled Steel High. And so we'll be engaging him as well in a little bit and more conversation. But tonight, again, our topic is the seeds of proactive change. For any new listeners, what we do is I offer a monologue, which gives us context for our conversation throughout the show for the next hour and a half or so. And it gives us a frame of reference. But we certainly welcome your ideas and your thoughts. Together we can learn and share our best ideas and move forward. Having said that, we're going to now start our monologue. Again, you can give us a call here at 657-383-0944. 383-0944. We'll be happy to entertain you in the studio in just a few minutes after we finish our monologue here. Again, the topic is the seeds of proactive change. In the Bible, Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 7th verse reads very simply, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." A seed is an embryonic, the beginning stage of a plant. It's enclosed in a protective outer covering. It is a byproduct of the process of procreation. In another sense, it refers to anything that can be sown or planted in soil. It should be noted, though, that a seed does not generate itself, but rather it is the result of reproductive actions from its progenitors. To be proactive is to take action in advance to deal with an expected change or difficulty. Change itself is the process or end result of becoming different. Rest assured, whenever there is change in anything, it won't be like it was before you began. In this discussion of seeds of proactive change, let us consider four important factors. One, in order for a seed to serve its function, someone or something must produce it. Two, that seed must be properly secured until it is time for its action, I should say, requires willful and intentional efforts to be rendered before any change will occur. And lastly, change involves procedural steps and the discipline of mind to follow those steps. In the context of those who are or have been suppressed and or oppressed in America, their socioeconomic, political, and even spiritual transformation will only come when responsible leadership facilitates the propagation of seeds of proactive change in their life, in their family, in their neighborhood, and their community at large. Now, to be perfectly clear, in order for anyone to subjugate you, whoever you are, know this: you must first make yourself present or available to be subjugated. However, when you are busy taking care of your business and you're handling your business like you ought to, any would-be oppressor have to catch up with you first before they can make you their object of subjugation. While we're not speaking in literal terms of planting organic seeds, I'm speaking from a philosophical position about some principles needed to be taught in society today, and specifically in those subgroups or subcultures that struggle the most economically, politically, socially. I'm convinced that if used properly, these seeds will lead to proactive and transformative change for anyone currently facing such oppression. Now, for a second, allow me to offer the following 6 seeds of change. Now, let me be clear again. It is not my intention to suggest that these principles I'm sharing with you are comprehensive in any way, nor exhaustive or inclusive of everything that can and should be done, but rather to present them as a starting point based on my own personal experience over the last 25 years of social observation and with certain groups who I have known to be oppressed, to be saddened, to be held back, and to want some change. So these are the 6 principles. And then we're going to open up our phone lines to our listening audience. Many people have learned to be helpless, waiting on somebody else to do for them. They've learned to act out of impulse only when something is right up on them or they get scared, or to become self-destructive in the process of waiting on somebody else to do for you. Like anybody else, they want conditions to get better, change for the better. In the interest of change, I recommend the concept or the seed of self-imposed detention. What you mean by that, Dockery? I mean you got to pull yourself away. You got to arrest yourself from whatever those destructive behaviors or people or places are that are keeping you back. You got to pull yourself away from them in order for you to be in a position to make a change for yourself. In doing so, you're able to avoid the triggers, the things that cause you to go back. In treatment, alcohol and drug treatment, they encourage those who are trying to get off of them not to go back to the same places and people, because they realize that that's a trigger that will cause you to self-indulge again. Self-imposed detention is the first seed that we ought to plant. The second one, through the process of self-assessment, the seed of acknowledgement should be sown in the hearts and minds of those who want to improve their condition. This will lead to honesty about the needs to let go of some things and not go some places. Acknowledgement is another seed that we need to implant. Reflection. Taking time to face personal realities. Now, this is something that's difficult for the best of us to do, to face the man or the woman in the mirror. Our realities sometimes are good and sometimes they're bad. Okay? But guess what? They're our realities. The seed of reflection is needed to make improvements for the future. And you can't allow anything or anyone else to tell you what your truth is, what your experience. Nobody know it like you. And if you pretend like you blind, crippled, and crazy, let somebody else determine it for you, you're in trouble. And you may not get the change you say you're looking for. Reflection is the third seed of change. Knowledge is power. By adopting a value for gaining knowledge, the seed of instruction permeate entire communities, stemming from each family and each individual heart in those families. The seed of instruction is another very important seed of change. Lastly, any organization, business, or subgroup needs to write a vision for forward progress and success and make it plain. Accordingly, the seed of strategizing is important for making the changes that you desire. Such strategic planning would lead to its own implementation. And then six, whenever there is an organized operation, the seed of action can bring about the change needed and desired. You can have the best ideas in the whole wide world, but if you're not willing to act on those things and bust a move, you'll wind up standing in the same spot looking for something that'll never come. The topic of the show tonight is the seeds of proactive change, 657-383-0944. Give us a call. We'll be glad to entertain your question, your comments here tonight. Pastor Waller, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How you doing, Pastor Dockery?
Mighty fine. I'm trying to plan some change, man. I'm trying to get my change.
Hey, man, you're on track. I know that.
Yeah. I'd have put a whole thing. I put a whole $10 bill on the counter. They ain't gave me all my change. I want my change tonight.
Yeah, don't run off and leave your change, man. No. Always remember, there's nothing wrong with getting
Come on. You know how you're sitting on the basketball court and you're shooting that rock and it busts the net?
Yeah.
And you're sitting there waiting on to get it back. You're supposed to get your chain. Don't I get no chain? I mean, come on now. I just hit one.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir. You know, that's exactly how it goes. And one would be grateful to give you your chains once they know that you hit the shot. They would be glad.
That's it.
Well, they used to be. I remember, I don't know what it is today. Somebody might be selfish and don't want to give it to you, but when you hit the shot, man, you can do it. You can do it with your chain, brother. And,
you
and right now, you're right on it. Yeah, you're right on it.
Well, praise God. Welcome, Brother Charles, and it looks like Outkast is here with us tonight. How you gentlemen doing tonight?
All right, how's it going, everybody?
Fine.
All right.
Fine.
Good. All I can say is let's get it on. Let's get it on.
Why don't we do that? I want to kick this off with my brother, Sam Cooke, and I think y'all already know what he's talking about, but I want to listen to some of what he said.
By the river in a little
can. And then bring it into our discussion for tonight. You guys heard the monologue, I assume, and there's something that's really key here because those six principles that I shared, I'm looking at our plight, and I'm asking myself, if you're going to do anything that's going to be meaningful, what could and what should that be? Well, let me get a little bit of Sam Cooke here.
A long time coming,
but I know
change don't come.
Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the
You're listening to Talk Straight. The topic is the seed to proactive change. Gentlemen, you heard what Sam Cooke said. It's been a long time coming. But he believed that a change is going to come. Is that good enough just to say I believe? Now, Charles has been putting pressure on me here. And is it good enough to just talk about it to say I believe? Or what must be done to make it happen? Charles, you want to start off on that for us?
It's definitely a start to believe change is going to come, but after you believe, I mean, you got to put it into action or get with a group, start forming a group that can make that come about if that's on your agenda or basically on your heart. But sit back and believe, that's fine. Some people can't help but to sit back. I mean, that's a natural way. I've been studying them type people who sit back. I mean, they sit back on everything. So I don't know how to push them type people. But I know it's a group out there that they got the drive. They can really make stuff happen. They got that braveness about them. The people who are brave got to start standing up and start being who they are. That's all I see.
Absolutely. You hit it on the head, sir. I believe, as I mentioned in the monologue earlier, that we, including me in this now, we've got to arrest ourselves. We got to lock ourselves up to keep us away from the things and the people that keeps us away, off focus and off track from what we need to be about. You know, last show we talked about being out of touch with time. Well, it's possible for you to allow yourself to get caught up with the wrong things and people, and you'll never get where you're trying to go. You'll never get there. Pastor Wallace, what role does our religious or our theology play there?
Well, you know, I like according to the scriptures, you know, today, and, you know, living according to the scripture, man, is beneficial to me, I must say. And if I deviate from that and pretend like I don't know anything about it, it would be devastating to the hope for the people. And so I know that there is hope. And I like what you shared earlier when it came down to the scripture. And I just want you to know how much that means to me to be mindful of it. Because this comes from talk. You know, talk is like planting a seed. Just talking loud and ain't saying nothing. You can plant a seed that sounds good, you know, and all these things I'm talking about myself. And if there's no substance in it that would benefit others, then, you know, what kind of seed are you putting down? I mean, I think it's a disgrace if I were to do that. So I like to just elaborate on what you shared about that, man. When you said in Galatians chapter 6, you know, verse 7, you said, be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Right.
Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That to me made me want to be constantly reminded. You just be talking that out there now. You know, because you can be putting it down that can cause harm to people.
Right.
And if you appreciate what it is that I've done for you, I mean, I'm hearing the Spirit of God share this with me, then you would keep that in mind, because you can easily be distracted by the jab talk. And when I think about that, man, I can really appreciate what's really going on about applying it, as Brother Charles said. You know, to me, you know, in my situation, if I'm not applying it, I'm not doing anything. If I'm not being effective in what I'm striving to do concerning the will of God, then I may as well just hush up, man. Don't say anything, man, because you're bringing harm to people if you're not bringing the solution. So make no mistake now. God is not mocked. A person will harvest what they plant. In other words, don't take lightly that what you plant. Get ready for the harvest. So I like to believe that there's a lot of lives that's getting ready to change as preparation is in motion. See? And the benefits are that's called a person that's a doer, not just a hearer only. And the cheapest thing a person can do is, you know, the talking thing's been going on for a while. But according to the action, and I see lives changing. So, you know, it's like, what do? I mean, you keep doing what you're doing. I mean, if it's working, do it. And if it's not, you can find out what works and get with it. And that's man. God is not mocked. Good God Almighty.
Now he mocked. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Now I was just going to outcast our people. And who are you talking about when you say our people, Doctor? I'm talking about African Americans right now, specifically. We have a tendency to do some great things, and because we didn't really plan to do it, we just did it off the whim. It was a great thing, and it's beneficial, but we don't realize how much value that it. We walk away and leave that good thing. Somebody else comes, scoop it up, put their name and label on it, and guess what? They're making money off of what we came up with. Can you figure that out, Cass, for a second?
Oh, well, it's not hard to figure out at all. You know, like you stated, I think previous session put a patent on it. But I like what you was talking about, the seed. But one of the most important of the seed, and I'm going to go to perception, one of the major parts of the seed is the guy goat. It's one of the major parts of the seed. This is what brings basically everything into existence along with the embryo in the seed. Now, you took me back to school on that one. Well, anytime you talk, you take me back to school and you speak on educated levels. Perception. Okay. okay. perceptions goes on with life experiences and things in that nature. But the thing is this. We have millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people throughout the world. They are tabula rasa. They are tabula rasa, which I'll give definition of that word later. It's one word which you know the definition of the word. You know, they came into the world innate knowing nothing. And the perception is out around them, what's going on in the environment. You have grown men, my age, older, younger, they are innate, and they're tabula rasa to exactly what's going on around them. Even going back out concerning the allegory of the cave. It's the same perception, you know, to have been in darkness for so long, you know.
Okay.
And when people such as yourself, you come, you talk to them, try to educate them. Some come in, some don't. They go on and do the foolish things and associate things that they have been continuously doing. Why? Because when a person is yourself and others come to them and try to talk to them, they reject you. They get angry with you because they love the antisocial behavior that they've been involved with. So therefore, they still stay in that realm of being tabula rasa, which tabula rasa means a blank slate. Grown men, my age, older, young, and just it. But without that gago in that seed, even though it got an embryo, if it did produce, it would not produce well. The only thing that produced well is knowledge, as you stated, and knowledge is power in our home.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you said that, because I'm convinced that where we miss out is when it comes to realizing that information or knowledge, the formal process of learning, is what empowers you, equips you with the information you need to make informed decisions. And you're going to make a decision, whether it's informed or ill-informed or uninformed at all, right? But the difference between the uninformed and the informed is your knowledge base. So many times we look for change. We look for the best that life have to offer. But respectfully, people lack the information necessary to go through the proper steps to get it. And consequently, you're upset and you're mad because you don't have what the next man have. And young guys go through this all the time. They see an old guy driving a Cadillac or Mercedes-Benz or expensive car, and they think, well, shoot, I want some of that. Well, you don't know what that guy has had to do through his life to work hard to get that. And the real question is, are you willing to do the same thing? Does that make sense, gentlemen?
Yes, but still, no, a lot of them are not willing to do it. They still want to stay in an animated state of mind, so therefore they remain tabula rasa and they begin to have irrational thoughts, and then they go to the antisocial behavior, selling dope, robbing, stealing, and then the end result is prison, and perhaps in prison they would come across an individual that will set them down and teach them in an environment if they're still if they want to learn. But still, once that individual begin to teach them, this is where the perception comes in. That, you know, and they're not on the level of being as a little child coming into the world knowing nothing and innate. They begin to understand perception and a self-perception, and then, therefore, they come out of the norm of being tabula rasa.
Well, you know,
a blank slate.
Okay, I got you. Some of the substance of tonight's topic was inspired by Tuesday night, and we had a call on, as you all will recall. She so very keenly identified with the theme, and the underlying theme was that we have a situation where there are grown, chronologically grown people in age, in numbers, who are still functioning on the level of a child because of lack of certain information or acting on it. That don't make them a bad person. It just means that you're behind, and that explains why it is you have not met certain benchmarks in life or had certain successes, right? And again, because this is an educational dialogue and experience, the focus is on understanding that and respectfully sharing how we can move forward to make that self-improvement. And I'm convinced, again, that it starts with, you know, you can go outside right now. I can go down University Court right now, you know, walk down the street down Davis Boulevard, and you find a whole lot of folk there. It ain't like they're hiding, right? That's their habitat. That's where they get down. That's where they do what they do. The question is, what do you have to bring them, and how willing or how possible is it for them to say, hey, I'm looking for a different life. I'm looking for a different way of doing things. Pastor Waller, I want to go back to the theology of the church. Do you think that we're doing enough to use to teach the Word of God that's transforming lives in an appropriate way? I'm not just talking about church folk now. I'm talking about people in general. Pastor Waller.
Yeah, I would say not enough, but I am grateful for the ones that are, you know, willing to step up and to do what can be done. And I'm based that on the scripture. You know, as I said about, you know, the talking thing is one thing that's easy to do. And it's a whole lot of it going on inside the church. I mean, they're having a mighty good time in there from my experience now. And I'm not talking about the church that I've been to several churches. And I have always been open-minded, you know, of what I was hearing. But as a guy named the Apostle Paul said, I will come to you shortly if the Lord's will.
Okay.
And I would know not to speak of those that are puffed up, but the power. Therefore, the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. So I understood that no matter how big the church is or how small the church is or what they got going on in there, if there's no power in it, you know, Paul said, I'm not coming. I'm not coming because, you know, I heard you all had a thing going on over there, and it seemed like it's a whole lot of fun going over there. But see, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So I don't think it's no fun, you know, when all this work is to be done and being inside the church. And once one leaves, I noticed something. I have been out there where church is let out and people are scattered somewhere everywhere, but nobody is looking at the fields. Out on the field and, you know, seeing the people that's out there hurting and crying out for help and things like that. So, you know, I want to keep my focus in on what my assignment is. That's why I don't beg people to come out. You understand? Because the word did say that there's only a few that's going to really be genuine and sincere about what's going on out on the field. So he said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
That's right.
I realized that, man, I just, you know, stay focused and do what I know that I was supposed to do and that I am supposed to continue to do. And if nobody never come out, all I got to realize is that scripture that you said earlier, God is not mocked.
That's right.
Whatsoever you sow it, you definitely going to reach it. In other words, you're supposed to be out there seeking to help people and you're not doing it. I think it's a danger, you know. I think it is a danger, brother. So, no, I don't believe there's enough being done. I honestly say that. And, you know, and I say that with boldness, with a humble spirit.
Sure.
I don't know if it's because they're afraid or because they feel like it's not my concern or whatever.
Right.
But I tell you what is going on, though. The street life, the game of life is still going on, and there are none.
That's
they're bar none, man. I mean, and they're innovating at what they're doing. So that's a lot within itself about the people that's in the church with the Word of God placed before them, but how to apply it in their lives, I don't know if that's going on, man, because of the fun that's going on inside the church, and that could be something that's harming the people more so than benefiting them.
I'm reminded.
That's what.
Sure, Sure. I'm reminded of a parable that Jesus shared where he talked about a man that planted seed, or two guys.
Yeah.
Said one man planted his seed on rough terrain, unfertile ground. I'm paraphrasing now. And the other man was very careful and meticulous about where he put that seed. And in time, in time, when they both returned to the place for which they, both of them planted now, both of them had seed that was useful. And as Outcast described it, this seed was well produced, right? But it was where they placed the seed that determined the outcome. I say that to say this. Even with everything we've done for the last 400-some years in the church, we have to ask ourselves. And you said something that was key. After you get out of church, what people do? Now, it's none of my business to tell folks what to do when they go to church, out of church, wherever they are. What we're trying to do, this is constructive criticism, if there's any at all, and this conversation is designed to help us understand how we can do better. Now, the catch is that when you're putting the seed out there, you're constantly throwing seed in the same spot in the church, and you're not going out there where the ground is fertile. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Yeah, what did you do it for? That's correct. You just said it. Yeah, you just said it. It summed it up. That summed it up right there, what you just said. Okay, so what am I going to continue to put a seed down here that's not bringing no fruit? You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
you know, I'm going to save a person all over again that's already saved. I mean, that's to me, you know, that's ludicrous, man, to me now. That's just, you know, from me being able to say what the Word of God says, to go home to your friends and tell them. That means go out there with something to offer them. You know, why would you instruct the person to do that? And then you see it in the Bible, and then you don't do it. So it may, maybe it's not talking to you. I mean, so I had to realize that, is it talking to me? Am I the one supposed to go back out? Nobody else is going. Why am I going to go? You know, that could be an attitude, but I refuse to do that based on what you just said. You see, I know if you plant a seed on good ground, something will take place, man. And the man came out of the building, planted a seed in me, which I was lost, caught up, twisted, and tangled, and couldn't get loose. But he planted a seed. He came from out of a church. And I couldn't shake that seed, man. It took a little while. My life changed. You see what I'm saying? So I'm saying all that to say that, what is good ground? What is considered good ground? Somebody that look good?
Great question.
Sound good?
Great question.
Feeling good? You know, tired of being? Is that good ground? Or someone is that trying to help? What is good ground? That would be the question that I ask. You know, what should put at? Go ahead.
That's right. Here's another factor. You said, what is good ground? And how far in the ground must you go if you want your seed to properly germinate? See, that's another factor. Sometimes we go only as far as we're comfortable or we like to go, or we only deal with people we like to deal with who we don't find intimidating. Right?
Yeah.
So now,
okay.
If we think we're gonna get our head cut, you know, I know I trust her, but I ain't gonna let nobody hurt me. I can't. Then them folks are dangerous over there.
That's right, brother.
But I heard Paul say, where sin is, grace what?
Abound.
More abound. Grace more abound. And the harvest
that's
are
right.
plentiful. Our problem is we don't have enough laborers. We ain't got enough people who are willing to step outside of what you're used to, your comfort zone, and to go where it really counts and where it matters. That's where the soil is. The interesting thing about the soil is that it can be, you put your hand in it, and it get real nasty, especially if it's wet. And you see all kinds of
black
worms and everything
dirt.
Off of it. Huh?
Good dirt. That's that black dirt. That good dirt.
Dirt.
From my point of view, going back, let me talk about fertile ground for a minute. Going back to what I stated earlier, you know, when God prepare you in more than one way. Going back to as you stated, knowledge is power. When I was in prison, I was an inmate lawyer, teacher's aide. Actually, basically, I ran the school, you know.
Okay.
And it was a lot of guys here, Nashville, everywhere. You know, they came to me. I talked to them. Some of them didn't have no confidence in themselves. I said, listen, if you can track what the kind of bad I have you doing your algebra and geometry in less than 3 months. You can't read, I have you read in less than 6 months. All ground is fertile ground. But the thing is this. When you are called by God, you are equipped to do more than one thing, Reverend Doctor, just as well as yourself. You can teach.
Okay.
You can
okay.
preach. Some people, all they want to do is just stay in one field. Do you have to multitask out here in this world like you're doing yourself, Reverend Doctor? You know, be able to do more than one thing. And I tell people like this, people quote scriptures all day long, but I only keep one in my mind, and it's Amos chapter 4, verse 13. For lo, he you form the mountain, turn day into night, created the wind. He treads the high places of the earth. His name is Lord God Almighty. See, this is the problem. A lot of times, and I'm going to cut it short. A lot of,
go ahead.
I can understand being in the ministry now. I can understand being in the ministry. But, you know, you need to be equipped in more than one way. You don't need to be tabula rasa or blank slate in different areas when it comes. It's more to God than preaching the word. What's one plus one? What's 10 to the third power? Now, this is the seed, and that guy you're going to bring the embryo and everything up, and you're going to have a strong plant.
I see.
And I hope.
Let me see if I'm understanding you correctly. What I'm hearing you suggest is that there are times where you're going to have to be multifaceted in how you share what you know or your expertise because needs may be different in different places at different times. Under different circumstances, and that's certainly
right.
The
like
in 27.
You can multitask.
That's certainly. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Now, you can stand behind a pulpit, and you can preach till you're green in the face. But I heard Jesus tell his disciples on during the Great Commission that I want you to go out to the hedges and to the highways. And then he said, don't just do it passively, but compel men to come. Are y'all walking with me? Now the catch is, you can't be looking pretty doing that. That's not going to always fit just in your frame of what you're looking for. Because in 2017, there are some people who don't know God and don't know anything about reality, right? They're missing their word of that. Probably the closest they'll ever get to that truth. Is your example.
Exactly.
And if doctrine is out of order, he may cause some good, fertile seed or soil to be messed up.
Exactly.
Now, here's the other catch. You can put your seed down in the soil. If you don't give it the proper time to go through the process of photosynthesis, guess what
you'll do
also? You'll cause it to die.
Exactly.
Or prolong its maturity. So you got to know when to plant the seed, how to nourish it, and these are the six steps that I'm talking about, and when to come back and take action to harvest that which you have sown from the beginning. So it's not one last thought there. That's what Charles was saying. We don't need to just start it and just let it die. You know what I mean? We've got to be proactive and let it continue to be going on and on. That means you need to plan and strategize so you know how to do that.
And
go ahead. And
another thing concerning that plant, you don't want to have the shoots over the roots. Meaning that you're going to have to be firm to plant it, you know, and those are the roots. If you got more shoot than you have roots, that plant is going to die. So therefore, coming back to the combination, rounding it off, as you stated, knowledge is power. You know, all of my ground is fertile, Reverend Doctor, all of it is fertile. And they're well planted. Not only do they have an education, They also, you know about God. They know about scriptures and God's son and things of that nature. You know,
okay.
Going back to what you stated, you know, just as well as yourself, and you are in, you are a good example of what I'm talking about. You have got to be able to do more than one thing. And when you approach a seed, before you do anything, you look at that seed. You know, me, a lot of times I look at my seeds. Sometimes I brush them off. I'm talking to people. I'm trying to find out where they are, where their head is, what are they lacking. What are they lacking? A lot of times, people, a lot of times, just coming straight off to them talking about God, they're not going to get it. I want to know what your needs are. You know, where are you? You know, what do you really want to do? You know, what are you afraid of? You know, and from my experiences, education, knowledge.
Yeah.
And I hope.
It's very key. It's very key. One other thing that I did want to point out, and Charles, I'll direct this question to you, and that is the process of reflection on where you are. I realize that it's not easy to be, you know, tell the truth on yourself. But, Charles, if we're not honest, let me give a good example just real quickly, Charles. Working with some guys, and we had a manager that was willing to hire guys and bring them in to work for him. So the manager was just trying to find out who knew how to do what, right, what their skill sets were. And one little guy, he bit off more than he can chew, you might say, because he talked real good now. He had good talking game. And he gave the manager the impression that he had more experience than what he did. And when he hired him, he threw him right in the fire. And the guy couldn't hold up. So guess what he did, y'all? He quit. Do we have to be honest with ourselves and be reflective about where we are? We say we want to change.
Yes.
We say we want to move forward. So let me get Charles on this one. Charles, do we have to be honest, and how honest should we be? How far should we go to be honest about where we are?
I mean, yeah, you do, because you know, your life got to be an open book. You just can't tell all the good stories about your life. You got to dig into them and the things you don't want to talk about. I think that's what's kind of lacking, because people want to have some kind of relationship with the person who's speaking. If I can't relate to you and I feel like your life is better than mine, I can't even hear the rest of what you're trying to say. I gotta first understand that we're going through the same problem. And I done been down the same thing. Once you get a relationship with somebody, you can lead somebody. But if they feel like, well, you'll never understand me because you ain't never been through what I've been through, then you kind of lose people. You know what I'm saying? So you got to get that relationship. Let them know. Tell some of them stuff you don't talk about. I mean, I know you can't talk about anything behind the pulpit, but I ain't know those rules behind the pulpit. I thought when you call, you're supposed to talk about whatever. But I don't think people feel confident enough in the position of power to talk about some of that stuff they done went through. They kind of scheme over that, leave that out. But I'm going to tell you something else about the drug life. But tell me about some of that other stuff, man. Tell me about that real stuff. They had you on your knees crying on your face begging God about. Tell me that story. Read them stories out. So that's what kind of misery. Can't get no relationship with nobody. Because people out here in these streets, they going through stuff. They've been on their face praying for God to change in their life. They don't hear them stories, though.
They don't hear people being real. Right.
They don't hear
them
real. Everybody can deliver their real, though. It's going to take a special person to do it. Because you kind of put your own life out there as well. I kind of share sometimes, you know, when I talk to people about different situations or whatever. You know, I come into some kind of relationship with them. I don't just leave them out there and let them know, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we all are human. I might be in this position, but same time, I fall short all daily. I got to kill flesh daily. It's a daily process, man. I mean, just because you called and stuff don't mean you're a perfect person. I hate the judgment that preachers get. And they just only but same time, they got problems, probably more problems than you. I promise you they do.
Wow.
That's what people
don't now mean.
They put preachers on their pedestal like they perfect, but same time, you got to come to a relationship with some of these preachers and pastors out here. They got a lot of problems, man. They got more problems. They got to do this stuff. They got problems. They got to take care of families and come up with a sermon just for you.
Right.
In that position. That's hopeless. So, man, it's tough. got to change the perspective of how they know. They just a messenger from God, man. They're feeling human.
Yeah.
They got feelings. They get their feelings hurt as well.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, Charles, and I think Pastor Waller would agree with me. Probably one of the most difficult things about committing yourself to ministry is you have to be extraordinary. You do have to be human. You do have to be human, but you also have to be an example for humans of how they can transform as well. So you see people saying, well, you know, I heard a preacher say, Pastor Waller, well, I'm a man of God from the waist up. What that mean? Brother, what that mean? I mean,
the waist up, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to give the example. Is the example, is it a attire, or is the example a mindset? I'm trying to figure out one, because I lose them with the attire. If I put my suit on and all this stuff, you can't see me. When you look at me, we don't got no type of relationship. We don't have nothing in common.
Wow.
So I speak, you know what I'm saying? You got to let them people see you in your words should stand out more than your attire should stand out. You know what I'm saying? Because that's intimidating.
Sure. You know,
hey, brother,
Go ahead.
Hey, man, listen, man. I'm amazed by this, you know. I think what I just heard Brother Charles say, man, I'm just grateful to hear that. See, because what's going on is, see, when God selects you to do a thing, you do what he selects you to do. And you don't back down to what one's opinion is, because, you know, the Word of God says, don't be wise in your own opinion. You see what I'm saying? A lot of times people jump into someone else's lane, and then their opinion becomes real and true to themselves and don't even realize, actually, you're in the wrong lane. But when you're in your, it was some young kids about a couple of weeks ago. I was going and heading toward the church building, and some kids out there playing, and they stopped me and said, and I had on some of my sneakers and blue jeans on, you know. They said, are you a preacher? He didn't say no tie, no suit, nothing like that. Just asking, was I a preacher? And I stopped for a minute, and I said, yeah. He said, can you preach to us? Now, notice something here. I asked him, how old were they? One said he was 7, and the other one said he was 8, and the other one said he was 8. So it was two of them that was 8, and one was 7. So we joined them all together. Come on up here then, you know. And the request was, can you preach to us? And these were little kids. And I said, about being no preacher. But guess what? When it's on you, you can't even shake it when it's on you.
Watch out.
You see? It's the power of God when he's at work. You see what I'm saying? And when your team, see, I played basketball, and I played it in such a way where I had an assignment. You see what I'm saying? And when you got one thing to do, like break a press, you see what I'm saying? Everybody can't break the press. So if a person can break you, that person can break the press, and that's all you do. You see?
Okay.
And that's the joy of knowing your assignment. Now, when you don't know your assignment, you scatter and go somewhere everywhere, and you're going to bring forth a lot of confusion. But when you stay in your lane and do what you're assigned to do, man, let me tell you about the power of the love of God, man, and how much he appreciate you not being ashamed of the gospel, because that's what he said. See, Paul had such an assignment, he had to stand firm and say, no matter what they say about me, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And that's good news, because if we don't hear enough good news, now I can go out there and do the devil's work and do everything up under the sun and be glorified by those who see something in that. But as soon as you make a change and start going down a righteous pathway, someone going to say something about that. But don't get discouraged, because back to the scripture, what you said, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. So sometimes we got to watch the power of words, because words can get you in trouble. Yep. You know, the word says, touch not my anointing
and
do my prophet. Why would he say something like that? Because some people are tampered with the will of God, and you just don't know what avenue is coming from, man. And so out in the real world, there's an everyday fight. And they're hurting people like every day, morning, noon, and even in the night season, man. And if you're sugarcoating, compromising, they'll peep it. They'll be aware of it. If you walk according to the will, you don't have to have a suit on. You don't have to be in church. But when you're walking according to his will, you're either hot or you're cold. You see what I'm saying? There's no tweet. You see what I'm saying? That's what's caused in the Word of God to be so ineffective. People are afraid to be steadfast with it, unmovable,
okay,
always abounding in the work of the Lord, that your labor will not be in vain.
Thanks.
You see?
Okay.
And that's the need in the real world, man. People who are true laborers.
Right.
That
right.
You know, you can check over your and say, I remember when I didn't know nothing about the Word of God.
Mm.
But then all of a sudden, now I want you to sugarcoat it and pretend like you don't know. That's just like mocking God, saying today,
yeah,
I don't want to know nothing about your word. I want to know about this and that and the other, which means you stripping yourself from your foundation. And that can lead you right back into the mess that you just came out of if you don't be aware. But see, I'm aware of it. I'm going to shut it down. The Word of God also says, unless Satan get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, he used devices, man. He used people. He used places and he used things to distract people who are standing firm. But I'm not ignorant of his device. I just want you to know, brother, keep doing what you're doing, man, because that scripture right there is a powerful scripture that lets people know you can't fool God with your talk. You can't do that. And that was for me. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
See, just when I was ready to stop doing the will of God, then I end up putting out a book. Wrote a book just because, you understand what I'm saying? Maybe I can stop talking about God then, but it didn't go like that, man. You see? And it's because of my assignment. You know, I'm supposed to live this way. This is a way of life.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I just want you to know, just keep doing it, man. It's a good thing.
Okay.
This is what it's supposed to be like. Stand in your lane. I love standing in my lane, man. I'm one of the best at it. I may not get that fast as you get there. But it's one thing I'm going to do. I am not going to dip over in your lane.
Okay.
That's one thing I know not to do. That's a danger. And then you become disqualified in whatever you say or do. Something like that. Yeah, I'm talking about me now. I've been in my lane now for 24 years, brother.
Hey, you stepping on my toes.
I'm not getting over anybody's lane, man. I refuse to do that.
No. Your point is well taken. That is, if you step outside, I like the way you put it, your lane. Now, Charles raised a good question, though. Charles raised a good question for a preacher. What's the difference when we dress up and we look, you know, look pious in suits and clothes and what have you, we deck down, what's the difference in you and me? And that was a good question, Charles. And, Pastor, what you're saying is you need to know what your gift and calling is and operate in that. Don't try to be somebody you ain't. What I find is happening is there are a lot of brethren in the pulpit who really, Charles, are ill-prepared to really address the social realities and needs of people in the streets, and they do more harm than they do good.
Right.
See?
I mean... That's true. That's very true. Are you talking about as far as the topics or what the sermon is going to be about, or that what you mean? To be able to break that down, something like what you mean by that.
Well, so the deal is, you know, the one of the primary purposes of a sermon, a message, is to complement the testimony of people. And to give people some motivation, some upliftment from the Word of God, helping them to relate that truth to their lives. That's a very simplistic way of saying it. But in short, that's the function. That's what you're trying to do. Here's the thing, though. If you don't understand the language and the experience of those people, how are you going to relate that to them? And so now... It's one thing to be able to quote Bible scriptures back and forth, and it's another thing to be able to be rooted and grounded so that you can relate that to people's reality, especially if somebody don't know God themselves. You understand? We're talking about the seeds of proactive change. And as I mentioned earlier, if you're not willing to go through a process, a procedure, a step-by-step, methodically do certain things, you try to jump the line and get around certain other things. What we want is the reward, but we don't want to put in the sacrifice. See, the sacrifice is about learning. The sacrifice is about practicing. The sacrifice is about going through something so that at the end of your journey, you can tell a story. And what I love about what Pastor Wallace is saying is know what God gifted you with and what he called you to do, and do that well. And do that well. Now, Charles, there's very little difference in you and a preacher like myself. If you cut both of us, we're going to bleed. If you say something real funny, I'm subject to crack up and laugh. Are you with me? But right. The truth of the matter is, what God has given me, this is what Pastor Wallace is saying, it is incumbent upon me to share that with you and the rest of the world. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Everybody don't want it. Everybody ain't trying to go to heaven.
That's right.
I had to learn that the hard way. Everybody won't go to heaven.
Right.
But you take the philosophy of Christ, whosoever will, let them come. And those are those who you work hard, you do your best to feed. And but in this day and time, there are some changes that need to be made. People are angry because they don't see no change. They ain't got their change. They've been putting in. Some of them been paying tithes in church, and some of them been paying taxes to the government. But they still ain't got no change.
Amazing.
That's
a
problem.
Yeah. Goodness.
But there's good news. There's good news. There's good news.
Go ahead.
There are some seeds that if we plant them right, that can bring about change. And I would humbly submit to you that to self-impose detention on yourself, pull yourself away from certain things, especially if you know that ain't good. I'll give you a good example. Now, most guys go get in the car with somebody and they riding dirty. You might not be dirty, but who you ride with is dirty. I'm speaking slang term now. In other words, they have something illegal on it, some contraband. They're breaking the law because their car is not registered, or they may have some dope on them or something to that effect. That's what riding dirty means to the listening audience.
Right.
The catch is,
okay,
you don't have to be there. If that's not who you are and what you're about, you can say respectfully to them, look, I can't ride with you because, you know, I don't want them to catch me riding dirty. And to acknowledge where you are and what you got to do to change. I mean, no, you're not where you want to be, and you may not be happy about it, but you'll never get there if you don't be honest to yourself about it. So acknowledging where you are and what needs to happen, and then reflecting on what you realize about yourself and what it is that got you where you are, then instruction can come in, that education, that knowledge, and gaining the knowledge you need to move forward can allow you to start strategizing or planning. And as you begin to plan and you work your plan, that's the action. Those are six seeds right there that I guarantee you. I ain't going to charge you for this, but I guarantee you that'll get you somewhere if you try. Give it a shot. I dare you to give it a shot.
Yeah.
No charge.
No charge. I ain't gonna charge you for this. It's free. Free of charge. But I dare you to give it a shot.
Appreciate that, brother.
So gentlemen, at the end of the day, the catch is I keep on seeing running into folk on a regular basis. Boy, they're just so mad, man. They want to just tear off somebody's head. You can't even have a good conversation with them because they're so frustrated. And I don't think they really understand why. They're good folk. You know, you get them off by themselves, man, and let them relax, let their head down. You find them pretty decent people, but they just mad. Everything sets them off. Everything sets them off. And because they're looking for something. They're looking for something. Go ahead, Outcast.
I was listening to Charge earlier, and he was talking about people out, you know, guys out on the street crying, you know, want some help and things of that nature. Well, you know, that goes back to themselves being tabula rasa. Everything is out here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a hand away, you know.
Mm.
They're not in prison. You know what I'm saying? They're not in prison. They know their needs. They want their wants. They know their shortcomings, you know.
Okay.
They're not willing to stand up and move forward. If you don't have a GED, have GED classes all over this city, morning, noon, and night. That is a person. I do understand what y'all are saying, but I cannot accept it as being an excuse, because if you really want something, if you really want it, you're going to go and get it. I mean, this is just like a female. If they really want a female, they're going to do everything that they can to impress the female to get them. You know, that, I understand what Charles is saying, but to me, Reverend Doctor, that's a cop out. They really don't want to do anything at all. Are they still stuck down in that same state and the social behavior? And that's their world. That is their world.
Okay.
Going back to, like Reverend Wallace said, that's their trap. They love that trap. Some people don't want to get in the trap. They want to stay in that trap.
You make an interesting point. Let me dialogue with you on a point you make. And you were saying that they don't really want it. It's kind of like that tree in the forest that fell. You didn't know it fell because you didn't see it. You don't even know it exists. So how do you want something you don't know exists? Does that make sense?
Well, yes, that makes all the sense in the world, but I don't think that the people are that tabula rasa and they're that blank in their head that they don't know that these things are in existence. They know if they want to go to work and make money, they go get them a job. But a lot of them choose to stay down there and in social behavior and do what they're doing and end up in prison. And perhaps someone come along and wake them up and put them on right path.
Let me give you an example. Right now, the state of Tennessee has millions of dollars set aside for agricultural production and distribution. And guess who is specifically geared toward? Minorities. But there are many minorities who are fitting this bill that we're talking about in the streets and hitting it, trying to get it every day, are unaware not only that it exists, but how to go about accessing it. So it's there, but it's like it's not there. And I think that's what I'm talking about.
If I can do a little rebuttal on that.
Okay.
In a lot of families, you have people that have went to high school, some went to college and things of that nature. A lot of these things, a lot of people, they are aware of it. Now, speaking of horticulture, a lot of people don't think in the line of horticulture. A lot of them out there, you know, the one that's in the street, they think in the line of getting a quick dollar. And therefore, they're not interested in it. You know, I've approached, countless of young men. Some of them graduated high school and things of that nature. I'm like, where's all this stuff that's out there?
Okay.
But I hold on.
All right, Charles, what would you say?
I can't remember what I was going to say.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Okay, you'll get it back. You know, come on.
You got a plan out here, but overall, it's like you got to be somebody to even plan a scene. You just can't be anybody. You know, you got to be an icon. You got to be a fit into the eye of the kids. You know what I'm saying? You live your life a certain way. But if you're not even noticeable, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm always gonna blame it on television.
Take your time.
Okay. I'm always blaming on what's put out there like that. I think it's more influence on what you see on a consistent basis. And if you walk past me, you never see me ever again in life. I'm not effective enough, one person.
I see what you're saying, if everybody think like that, and, you know, kind of be a role model, but more than anything, the right image about a particular culture got to be projected the right way. You got to know that. I mean, you can't just be like looking at Bob down the street. I don't know Bob. I'm looking at what defines stuff. I mean, when I go to school, they kind of give you an idea of who you are when you're going to school. The treatment.
Okay.
It's kind of putting you in that position as far as how you're getting treated. Okay, why they got to sit on this side? Why they eating lunch over here? It's like you, from day one when you're a kid, you're getting ready for the world, how it's going to start treating you out here. It's kind of something wrong with that. Especially television. I'm going to always say television because I know the power in seeing. And it's believing.
Gotcha.
Whether it's true or false.
Right. So, Charles, you raise a great point. Here's something for your consideration. I follow your thought, your premise there. And the deal is, there are a lot of folks, especially locally, and I think this is a national issue, they're looking for the so-called leader. And often the people who are seen as leaders have been put up by somebody else who has an alternative motive or an agenda, okay? And while you're trying to follow those so-called leaders and what they're talking about, you're not focusing on what you need to do for yourself. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell y'all a secret. Don't y'all tell nobody I told you, okay? The leader, you are your best leader.
Wow.
Huh? You are your
Correct.
Best leader. And the more you know to guide your feet where you need to go, the better the chance you're going to have what you need in the end. Now, in a general sense, there is a role for others to help those who don't know and to guide those who are not strong enough to go. But for the most part, the whole function and the purpose and the job of a preacher and a teacher is to teach other people how to what? Have a personal relationship with God themselves and to be in charge of themselves. Anybody that's trying to keep you eating out of their hand ain't your friend. What did I just say?
Exactly.
I just said something right there.
Exactly.
And I don't care who if they trying to keep you eating out of their hand, they ain't your friend.
I got a question though, Doc.
Yes, sir.
They can still that's a lot of, I mean, this generation I'm looking at today, it's a different type of people out here. It's different. It's like it's kind of hard to really. I'm kind of like Pastor Waller, man. It's like, you know, somebody came to me and it meant something. You know, like you come to people today, it don't mean the same thing. You know, somebody coming, so you might just invite you to come to church. You know, it's just enough for me. It ain't enough for everybody out here. I believe everybody just waiting on God. When you waiting on God, you ain't gonna never start nothing. You just waiting, okay, when I get through with this life, afterlife, they're going to get their punishment. I think people more in the mind frame of doing what they got to do, going through hell. It's going to be okay because I'm going to heaven and they're going to hell. So that's not going to make them move out here. You're going to wait on God.
Okay.
You're going to keep on waiting until you die.
Oh, man.
Hey, what y'all? Hey, yo, child, you know what? Hell is right here on earth, bro. When I die, it's over. That's my view. Hell is right here on earth.
Right.
Certainly some people feel that
we're trying to plant a seed and have people follow and get up and do something about the situation they're in. They're not. They're waiting on God to change it.
And watch this, Charles. God gave you all the necessary tools you need to bring the change you need. I'm sorry, but God ain't going to come from heaven and pick up that Burger King bag that somebody threw on the ground after he got through eating them fries and hamburgers.
Exactly.
God ain't gonna come clean
God
up. God is not gonna come and take that gun out of little shouted hand. We gonna have to do that.
Yeah, they need to know that though.
We gonna have to do
that.
Wow. Wow, that's all I can say. Wow.
Now what God gonna do is give us the strength and the encouragement and direction and the knowledge that we need to do what is in front of us, but guess what? God ain't coming back to do that no more. I heard him tell his disciples, Pastor Wallace, he said, I'm going away, but greater works shall you do. And I asked myself, I said, what do you mean by that? Why? What do you mean greater works? Who could be greater than God?
That's what he did. That's right.
So the greatest task that we have as righteous men and examples is to help people get past the illusion that the devil got them operating on. That's a great task.
So he
got all kind of tricks, and he know how to market that thing just right to fix it up for you, to get you baited in. And the challenge we have in this flesh is to walk right and to be just like Christ, to show people how they can overcome alcohol, drugs, sex, gambling, hustling, all those things that keep us under pin.
My goodness. Man, you're hitting hard right there.
All I can say is hello.
Well, that's where we are, man. And if we're not careful, we'll lose sight on what really we ought to be doing. You know what I mean? I was going to go somewhere else, but I think I'll wait until another show on that one. We need another 2-3 hours on that one. So in terms of these seeds of change, I humbly submit them to you to consider that when you're going to do anything and you're looking for a different outcome, it's important that you know that if you got the same thing for the last 20, 30 years, we done had the same thing and haven't seen much change or difference. You got to ask yourself, then where are we going? Are we making any movement if you're in the same place? I mean, you know, so, but.
Good point.
Pastor, one question I want you to hit this question for me, and you explain it to me like I'm 3 years old now. I mean, act like I'm a brand new baby.
Yeah, let me see if I'm familiar with it. Go ahead.
How does change become proactive? Now, you remember we talked about anything that's proactive is where you do something ahead of time before you have a problem. How can change become proactive for us in this present day?
Some preparation to me, you know, and
I agree.
It's like preparing, you know. What is the motive for preparation, and how do you go about it? You know, in other words, you realize the power of order, you know, and when you're doing things decently and in order,
watch
that
out.
That lines up with preparation. Okay, and the reason I say that is it's like, you know, when you look out on the field and you see, as Brother Charles said earlier, you know, what you see is real. You know, seeing is believing. So to believe what I see out there is that people are scattered. I see that. I believe that. But then the Word of God tells me and says, we walk by faith.
And
not by sight. Because see, me looking at it, I would see that there's no hope. But in preparation, you see, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. And so there are some unseen things in preparation that are changeable, that will change if we do our part. So I just say, you know, the only reason why I still fight the way I do is because of the preparation, man. You know, had it not been for this man who came out and said something to me. See, my life didn't change as far as they could see at that time. But the preparation had started. And then the evidence showed up of change. And it had to do with that one man who lived the night and left the 99, came to see about a person that was lost, didn't have no relationship with God, quote, at all.
Okay.
And then, you know, this is the reason why I say it's important to carry out, you know, to go out and to compare men. You know, the Word of God said, go on the street corner. You know, and to everyone you may find, because there's a lot of people, man, that actually would like to change but don't know how. I was that individual, man.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I was that individual, so I understand that the best witness and the best of my evidence is that my personal relationship with being lost. But through
okay.
preparation, man, preparing, you know, it's a plus. I mean, it's good for, you know, the people who are out there that's looking for a way to escape. It's really actually good. So that's the way I would design it, you know what I mean, in my mind and in my heart, is to look back, and then the word says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope, you know, and that's the only reason why I know preparation is good for change. I know
okay.
it's preparing for what's upcoming. Yeah, that's it, man, and it's good.
You
know,
but you know what?
I like the question.
But you know what, Pastor? You know one thing that hurt a lot of good people.
Mm-hmm.
They say, I've been struggling so long, I don't want to have to make no more sacrifices. I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
I should get it right here and right now. Because my mama, my grandma, my great-grandma, they suffer. I want it right now. I want mine right now. I want it all right now.
That's right, man. I can understand it, too. It makes people feel
that
way.
Is that healthy, though? Is that healthy, though?
It's fine to think that way, but is it healthy? I mean, to get the goodness of God too quick, and from my own experience now, you know, I was so glad that I didn't get it all at one time. I mean, his goodness, man. I mean, I couldn't handle it, man. So he knew not to put that on me too soon. That's why I say preparation was beautiful. Because I walked into the church, I changed everything that day I walked in there as a visitor. Didn't know nothing. But I wanted to change everything that day, you know. And I left out, man, and I felt real bad because I got to go back to the streets and do what I've always done. But I did make preparation. I stepped out. I went. And, man, it's amazing, brother. It's amazing. You know, you should want it right then. But it doesn't go like that. That's why I say they that wait up on the Lord shall renew their
spirit. I'm going to use your word, prepare. To prepare.
Yeah.
To prepare is to do in advance.
Yeah.
That means you got to walk by faith and not by sight. Because you ain't got it yet. Get ready for it.
Yeah, man.
Huh?
Change going to come. That's what the song was written, you know. Change will come at that point. You know, listen to the song, what you said that you played earlier. You know.
Right.
And, man, that's preparation, man, listening to a song like that. Man, when I finally changed, brother, man, I was so glad to look back on this song again, man. It just gave me such joy to know I had to wait, and that's what most people don't know how to do. You know, we wanted right then, right there, and I understand that because I did. I wanted, but the enemy wasn't that strong to keep me from showing up. Even though I did that day, I stayed in strive, man. Stayed in my lane, and I just kept pushing. And it took a little while, brother. I ain't never seen nobody that I know that waited 2 years for change, you know, like I did. I mean, I didn't do nothing.
Okay.
I'm just wondering why I'm still showing up, you know. But the time, and what I like about change is this. See, in church is one thing. I was looking for the change when I wasn't in the church, man. Yeah, I looked for it when I was in the church. I visited. It didn't come. I just kept looking for it. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I just kept looking, man. And one day on a Friday, man, change took place, brother. You know, it took place. Just think if I was just looking for it on Sunday, I would have missed it.
Right.
The change came on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Man, do you know what time it is?
Man,
we got 5.5 minutes, man. And it just gets gooder and gooder. Let me give Charles a chance to final thought or question and an outcast before we get out of here, man. Look at the time, man. Look at the time, Charles. Anything you want to leave us with tonight, bro?
I'm trying to think of something to leave with it, but man, more than anything, I'm trying to leave like a real seed to do, you know, for the generation to come. I mean, I did a lot of talking, man. I did a lot of representing. If ain't nothing changed right now, I'm trying to find out what now else is it to do. Now, I can't stay stuck on the same thing and try to go back and do it all over again because I've already done it once. Now, to be more productive in life, what I have to do now, I might have to go out and knock on these doors, man. I might do something a little bit different. My delivery might have to be different. I might have to come into their world. They can't come to mind. That comes with knowledge. You can't catch up to my knowledge to understand what I'm saying if you don't have it. But I can't break myself down today to understanding. I believe you have to make it plain and clear whether a child can understand. So I'm going to have to go back a little bit on my end and see why I went wrong. Because I think I got too far advanced for comprehension out here. So I think I'm going to step back a couple of levels, do a lot more listening, and then start approaching a little bit different, man. I think that's what I'm going to do in my personal life.
Word. Okay. All right. Outcast, right quickly, we've got about three and a half minutes here.
Okay, well, I just like what Charles said. Charles, when a person look at me, they would say, man, he's dumb. My looks have always gotten me in the area that Charles is talking about. And after people have been to me, guess what, Doctor? Young guys have walked up to me, even in prison. They said, man, I was afraid to talk to you. I said, why are you afraid to talk to me? It's because then you just real educated. I said, well, you're in the right place. Now I can help you get an education if you're willing to let me help you. Sometimes you have to step back. But I love that. You know what? Depiction is awesome, ain't it, Reverend Dockery? And this is how I suck a lot of people in. Reverend Dockery have never seen me. Either of you have never seen me. But if you look at me, you say, man, he dumb. Man. He don't know nothing. You know what I'm saying? Until I start talking. And it's on. I hold in the Reverend Wall coming.
All right. Pastor, you got something? Got about 2 minutes here, Pastor.
Oh, man, I just enjoy what the Word of God says, where there's two or three gathered together in His name, man, touching and agreeing.
He'll be in
there.
The
he'll be in. Yeah, that's what my desire is to know that when, you know, the power of togetherness is in motion, you know, change automatically takes place, man. It's just about being patient and allow the power of patience to work for you. And that's what I would extend to the brothers and let it be known that it's all right, you know, to know according to Hebrews 13:1, it says, let brotherly love continue. That sounds like to me there's a point because change is wrapped up in it, you know, when it continues. So be encouraged, brother. I enjoy you, brother, man.
All right, likewise. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Seeds of Proactive Change is the topic for tonight's show. www.bfcinstitute.com. Go there, learn about what we're doing, support our cause. Look forward to seeing us, joining us again next Tuesday, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, PM, Lord willing. And we broadcast live with a new topic, and we're going to leave on Harold Melvin in the blue note. He said, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. Time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the truth.